All right. Well, again, it is great to have you with us this morning. And I was told this morning that Brother Clint would not be here and we couldn't get a substitute. And I just thought, well, I can just put a little Bible study together, a little devotional about fathers, just to bring the word a little bit. So this is off the top of my head. This is off a few minutes of study, so it's not like I've had a lot of time to prepare, not an in-depth anything, but just a little message about Father's Day and what it means to me and what I think about when I think about Father's Day. But first, I'm going to read something that Oliver gave me, and I really like this. This is really neat, and I appreciate him giving this to me. The Gifts of the Father. This is from a sermon that, who did it, your son? Your cousin. His cousin did a few years ago. It's called Gifts of the Father. And if you want to write this down, it's based on Matthew 7:11, taken from Matthew 7:11. But it's just an acrostic based on the word Father. And it's taken from what are important gifts that fathers give to their children. And so I talked a little bit about this a little bit ago, but just to give you some things to dwell on. First of all, fathers give their children the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And like I said, that's the greatest gift that a father can give. You can teach him how to hunt, you can teach him how to camp, teach him how to repair, teach him how to fix a car, whatever. You can teach your children anything, but the most important thing is to teach them faith. And so the first thing is to give them the gift of faith. And then number two, give them the gift of affirmation. Affirmation. Encouragement. Encourage your children. The Bible tells us, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, usually it's the other way around. Children exasperate fathers. I was exasperating my father. But fathers aren't supposed to exasperate their children. Of course, I would usually get as exasperated when he said, because I said so. That is one of the worst excuses I've ever heard. It's true, but I didn't like it when I was growing up, because I said so. And that was exasperating. But fathers, don't exasperate your children. Be affirming, be encouraging, and give them praise when they deserve it, and give them correction when they need it. But always give them the gift of affirmation. Another one, give them the gift of time. Time. And that, again, along with faith, that's the most important thing you can give your children, is just time, because they just want to spend time with you. They just want to be with you. Nothing can hurt a child worse than not being there for your children, not being there, not being around, not giving them your time, wanting to spend time with them. So give them your time. Give them the gift of help. Again, this goes back to teaching them all the things they need to learn, like how to camp and hunt and fish and repair things and how to save a dollar, all that good stuff. Give them the gift of help. And this goes along with affirmation. Give them the gift of encouragement. Again, affirmation, encouragement kind of goes along with one another. But give them the gift of encouragement. And then last is give them the gift of respect. Teach your children the way that they should go, and then respect them to believe or to have faith that they will do it, that they'll be able to do it, and to give them respect to do such a thing. So I like that little acrostic. That was really neat, and I appreciate Oliver giving that to me. He gave me a little food for thought for Father's Day. But today I would like to talk about, and this is something I have often thought about when I think of Father's Day, a tale of two fathers, two different kinds of fathers we have biblical examples of. One, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, is Abraham. We have the example of Abraham as a father. And then another father we have an example of is Manasseh. And you think, well, Manasseh, why would we want to follow his example? Well, we don't want to follow his example, but we want to see his example so we know what to do. Because Manasseh, well, he wasn't a good father. And you can find the story of Abraham in Genesis 22. And of course, we all know the story very well. But Genesis 22. And then you'll find Manasseh's story in 2 Kings 21. But we're going to begin with Abraham, and we're just going to talk a little bit about his example, and then we're going to compare it to Manasseh's. Now, as we know, Abraham was the father of the Israelite nation. His son would eventually lead to the formation of the Israelite nation. And so Abraham, he was a great man of faith, and he served God faithfully. He was a man of honor and integrity. Remember the story of Lot when he was getting ready to divide the land with his nephew Lot. You know, Abraham was basically the chief of his tribe. And, you know, by law, he could have had the greatest of the land. He could have had the best portion. And he could have claimed it as his own. And there was nothing that Lot could have done about it. But Abraham, in his humility and his love for his nephew, he said, "You choose. You take the best portion, and I'll take what's left." And that's what kind of man that Abraham was. He was a man of honor and integrity. And he obeyed God's commands and served with humility. We have countless examples of Abraham in the Bible and his faith in God and his obedience to God. Remember when God came to Abraham and said, "Hey, you're going to pack up all your stuff. We're going to take you to this foreign land and you're going to put down roots." What did Abraham do? He didn't say, "No, I kind of got a good thing going on here. I like where I am. I'm powerful, I'm rich, I got lots of possessions, I got a good family, I got everything going for me, I'm staying here." No, he said, "Okay." He packed up his stuff and off he goes to this land. Never been there before. He didn't know anything about the land he was going to. He just trusted God. He said, "God told me to do this, and so here I go. I'm going to a new land." And so Abraham was a man of honor and integrity, and he obeyed God's commands completely, and he served with humility. Now Manasseh was a king of Israel, or Judah, actually. He was king of Judah. And the Bible tells us that Manasseh was the most wicked king that ever lived. He was bad. He was a terrible king. He was a terrible human being. He just did everything wrong. He was arrogant. He was greedy, and he was cruel. He worshipped false gods, and he led Israel in the worship of false gods. He had no honor. He had no humility. He was a wicked, wicked man and a wicked king. And the Bible tells us straight up, says he was wicked. He was bad. He was not good at all. And because of Manasseh's wickedness, now here's another contrast. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, because of his obedience, God blessed Abraham and produced the nation of Israel. And from Israel, we had the blessing of Jesus, the Savior. Because Abraham was faithful, God was able to set all that up. But because of Manasseh's wickedness, Israel was punished and Israel was destroyed because of Manasseh's wickedness. So we have two different examples of fathers here, and we're going to see how they interacted with their sons here in a little bit. Let's look at Genesis 22 and see how Abraham interacted with his son and with God. I'm just going to read a little bit. We know this story very well, but in Genesis 22, chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And Abraham said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Now this seems pretty cruel for God to ask Abraham to sacrifice his only son. As you know, Abraham couldn't have children for the longest time. And Abraham prayed and prayed and prayed for a son, and he never got one. And then when Abraham was very old and well past childbearing age, and his wife was well past childbearing age, God gave him a son. He blessed him and gave him a son. And of course, as any father and mother would be, they were ecstatic. They were overjoyed. God had given them something they had sought their whole life. They were blessed, and they couldn't believe how fortunate they were, how blessed they were from God. But then, in the very next chapter, God says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, and I want you to sacrifice him on the altar to me as a sign of your devotion. What? God, you just gave me the son. I've been waiting for a son. This is the blessing I've been waiting for my whole life. I'm not going to have another son. I'm too old. My wife's too old. I'm not going to have another son. And you want me to sacrifice him on the altar? Or really? But Abraham did it. He said, okay, God says, I will do. And so he took his son. He didn't know. He did not know. He had no way of knowing that God was going to provide a lamb. As far as he knew, he was about to sacrifice his son on the altar that he had prayed for. But he did it anyway because he was obedient. And he trusted God. And he said, if God asks of this or asks me to do this, then it must be right, because God is always right. And God is always true and faithful, and he's never let me down before. So I'm just going to have to trust him. So off he went. I don't know if I would have made that choice. I don't know if you would have made that choice. It's pretty hard. But he did, because he was a man of great faith and integrity and obedience. And so Abraham went to sacrifice his son. And of course, we know the rest of the story, that God said, Abraham, stop. I've got a lamb right there in the bush. Take this lamb and sacrifice it instead. You did good. You passed the test. You are faithful and obedient. And you will be blessed because you were faithful and obedient. So Abraham did what was right, and he was blessed. And God didn't take his son. Instead, he gave him a nation. A nation numberless as the grains of sand, countless as the stars. He gave him a people that came from Abraham. That was his blessing because of his obedience. Look at Manasseh now. If you just flip over to 2 Kings 21. Let me get over there. 2 Kings 21. And we're going to read a little bit. Now, keep in mind that both Manasseh and Abraham were both very wealthy men. They were both very powerful men. Abraham was the chief of his people, and he had many possessions. He had a large family, not children, but he had a large family through his brothers and sisters and all of that. And he had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of land. He was a very powerful man. Manasseh was also a very powerful man. He was the king of Judah. And he had possessions, he had wealth, he had power. So both of these men were very powerful, very wealthy men. But they both reacted differently to God's commands. And if we read in in 2 Kings 21, verse 1, we read about Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he made his son pass through the fire. practiced soothsaying, witchcraft, and consulted spiritualists and mediums, and he did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, here we have a picture of a man who had a son, just like Abraham, but he didn't treasure his son. In fact, he didn't even love his son. He didn't care about his son except for a tool. Because you see, when Manasseh sacrificed his son, and he actually went through with it, he didn't wait on God to give him another sacrifice or have obedience to God and faith in God. He actually sacrificed his own son to a false god. And when he did that not because he loved his son and he wanted to show his devotion to his false god. No, he did it because of his greed and his lust for power. Because he knew if he could sacrifice his son to this false god, the false god would grant him more power, would grant him more possessions, would grant him more of everything he wanted. So Manasseh, in contrast with Abraham, he didn't love his son at all. He just saw his son as a tool, a means to gain more power. And so he willingly sacrificed his own son to the fire of a false god. That's wickedness. That is evil. That is in great contrast to what Abraham did. And so if you read on down in the story, you see that God said, because of Manasseh's wickedness, I'm going to bring destruction upon Judah. I'm going to lay it waste. I'm going to put you in captivity, and the temple will be destroyed. I'm going to send you out into suffering and punishment because he was wicked and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now Manasseh, he was the king of Judah. He had a godly father as his example. Hezekiah took the people back to God. He found the scriptures, he learned the truth, and he said, we need to worship the one true God. And he took away the high places, and he took away the bad altars, and he stopped the Israelites or Judahites from worshiping the false gods. So it's not like Manasseh didn't have an example of a good father to show him how to be obedient. But what did Manasseh do with all that he had? Because he was the king, and he was the chosen of God to be the king of Judah. And he could have, if he had been obedient, he could have been blessed beyond all his expectations. But instead, he turned to evil. And because he turned to evil, the entire nation was destroyed. And he lost everything. Manasseh himself was taken to captivity. So he thought he was getting power. He thought he was going to get wealth beyond all imagination. But instead, he was taken into captivity along with his people, and he lost everything. So why do I tell you these stories? Why are we looking at these? Because these are two examples of fathers. One father was obedient and faithful to God, and God blessed him. The other father was wicked, evil, and disobedient to God. And God punished him and took away everything from him. Another thing to take away from this is the fact that our children may be our greatest treasure, but they are still gifts from God. And we always need to remember to put God first, even above our own children, our own family. That's a hard lesson to learn because we love our children. I love my parents. I love my brother and sister, although they do get on my nerves from time to time. But I do love them. And I would never consider, if God asked me to sacrifice my sister, I'd be like, really? I don't think I can do that because I love my sister too much. But you know what? That's what God calls us to do. Not to sacrifice them, but to know and understand that God comes first in everything. That He is the most important thing. And if we cannot put God above our own family, then we are doing something wrong. If we cannot put the love of God above the love of our own family, then we need to rethink what we're doing. Because God says, I am first. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. That includes your family. And so Abraham took that to heart, and he understood that. He understood this son that I prayed for, that I loved and I cherished, I would lay down my own life for my son without a second's thought. But now God wants to take him back. Well, he was God's in the first place, so he belongs to God. And if God requires him to come back to him, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's a hard lesson for us to learn in this modern age, because we put so much stock in our family, and that's right that we do so. But we have to understand that God comes before our family. He comes before everything. Abraham understood this, and he was willing to sacrifice his own son because God asked him to. So keep that in mind as we celebrate Father's Day today, as we celebrate our fathers, and as we celebrate our family from this point forward. Love your family as Abraham loved his son and his family. Show them devotion as Abraham was devoted to his family. But also understand that God comes first. That if we put our family above God, then we've got our priorities mixed up. And also take to heart the example of Manasseh. Don't let greed and ambition and lust destroy your relationship with your family. Don't let that wickedness come into your life, because that will destroy you. Abraham was obedient and he was blessed. Manasseh was wicked and he was punished. And see, not just Manasseh, but the entire nation, because of his wickedness. And that's why God says, I will visit the sins of the father upon the son. Because be sure that your sins will have consequences upon your family. So don't follow the example of Manasseh. Follow the example of Abraham, and you will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given to us to be in your house. We thank you for the word that you brought to us today, to the godly example of Abraham that we have, a man of great faith and obedience to you. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be obedient like he was, to have faith like he was, or that he did, and to show obedience to you in everything, Father, to not put anything above you, even our own families. And Father, we have your example of love and grace, that you sent your only son, Jesus, who was perfect, who did nothing wrong. You sent him to die for our sins. You loved us that much that you were willing to sacrifice your own son for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Help us to always remember that example of love and grace and devotion. And for the fathers who are here today and who couldn't be with us today, who are traveling to be with their families, I pray that you would bless them and help them to always look to you for a godly example and to follow the example of Abraham and Jesus in living their lives and dealing with their children. Help them to always follow that example so that they can be blessed in all that they do. And Father, we just thank you so much for this time. Just bless us and guide us as we continue to serve you. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation, hymn number 349, Trust and Obey. And as we sing, Oliver is going to be down front. If anyone has a decision or feels the Lord is speaking to them this morning, Oliver will be glad to talk with you. But let's stand together and sing, Trust and Obey.